So welcome to our pulpit, Reverend Stephen Tan from Singapore. He's visiting and he's a pastor from my previous church in Singapore. We are delighted to be able to hear him preach again, and I know that God will use him to teach us from the book of the Weeping Prophet. His message to us is entitled, Seeking Great Things For.
Greetings to the brothers and sisters in Christ, to our Chinese-speaking congregation, 主内的弟兄姐妹们平安, and to the members of the Korean congregation, I don't know what to say except 안녕하세요. In reading through the book of Jeremiah, I came across this man, Baruch. I realized that we are all like Baruch in some ways, in that we seek for great things in life. And just as the Lord said to Baruch not to seek for great things, the Lord may also say the same thing to us. And there is a good reason, which we shall find out. And finally, what may be most surprising to us is what the Lord will tell us to seek for. So please listen on and find out what the Spirit may say to you about the little things of life. Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet because he often shed tears for the sins of the people to whom he brought the message of God. They refused to believe his message. They were willing to listen, but they refused to believe that God could and would destroy Jerusalem and the beloved Temple of Solomon. Here in this passage, we read of familiar names like Josiah and Jehoiakim, his son. And so this sets the scene to Judah, the southern kingdom, and to the year 605 BC or thereabouts. Josiah had been a good king. He repaired the temple and brought reforms to the worship in the temple. But his son, Jehoiakim, was not like his father. He had no regard for the word of the Lord. So that year, 605 BC, the Babylonians would sweep in from the east and take the Jewish people into exile back to Babylon. And this is something that the Jews simply could not believe could happen to them. For Jerusalem was the place where God had chosen to put his name in. It was the city chosen by the beloved King David. And the temple, built by his son Solomon, represented the very presence of God among his people, because inside the temple was the Ark of the Covenant. How then could Jeremiah preach this message to the people? Simply put, surrender to the Babylonians. Leave this city and go into exile. It was a bitter pill to swallow. And to make matters worse, the king, Jehoiakim, did not believe in the words of Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah 36, we read that the king had the scroll on which the prophecy of Jeremiah had been written. He cut it up into pieces and fed the pieces into the fire. Subsequently, another scroll was written, and the man who wrote both scrolls was Baruch, the secretary of Jeremiah. So this morning in Jeremiah, we read about Baruch. Baruch's name means blessings, and Baruch, like many of us, was seeking for great things. So in my sermon today, I would like to share that the greatest thing in life is to seek for the little things. So let us pause and pray and ask that the Lord will speak to us. Sovereign Lord, you have inspired your word that has been recorded and left down to us that we might read it today. Speak to our hearts, for your servants are listening. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. My first main point then is that seeking for great things is natural. Jeremiah, instructed by God, said to Baruch, "And seekest thou great things for thyself?" It seems so natural for us to be seeking great things. The word for great in the Hebrew language is the word gadol. I know it looks like Hebrew to you, and indeed it is. It suggests things which are impressive or prominent. So seeking for great things seems to be a part of the psyche to which we are born as Asians. Many Asians are like that, and I'm sure Australians are like that too. In my family and I had the privilege to live in America for a total of 16 years, and there we met many Asians, Chinese and Koreans, Vietnamese, and of course the overseas-born Chinese. It is safe to say that most Asians that we met were not satisfied with just being mediocre. And although it was tough to rise up to be number one in corporate America because of the so-called glass ceiling, yet in middle management, in areas of scientific research, and in the realm of business, Asians were by and large successful. So nothing wrong with working hard and wanting to get ahead. In fact, by working hard, many Asians have contributed much to the societies of which they are now an integral part. I'm sure it is the way for many Asians here in Australia as well, and Australians have been very welcoming as well. Secondly, as individuals, as Asians, we tend to be hardworking. How about as individuals? Even as individuals, I dare say that some of us, or even most of us, aspire for great things. And there are two possible reasons for this, for such lofty thinking. The first reason could be our aspirations at birth. Very likely, none of us are as blessed as the prophet Jeremiah himself, for we are told concerning his birth that the Lord had spoken these words about Jeremiah's life. "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." How wonderful, isn't it? It would be if we all could be so assured that the Lord had such great and lofty plans for our lives even before we were born. For myself, I can only guess that I inherited the name Hok Chai, in Chinese is very significant, Fu Chai, when I was born, because my parents had aspirations for wealth and prosperity to be made in my life. And that's what my two Chinese names mean, wealth and prosperity. And today I'm sure my parents are thanking God in heaven for the spiritual wealth and prosperity that I've amassed by God's grace. Aspirations at birth. Secondly, inspiration from life. Baruch was the secretary to Jeremiah the prophet. He was the one who wrote down these prophecies which the Lord had inspired Jeremiah to utter. And although the prophet may not have been welcomed by the people, yet there must have been this sense of the importance of the task. And thus it was a privilege for Baruch to be the one writing it down. And since Baruch's name means blessed, he must have felt blessed to be the appointed to such an important task for such an important person like Jeremiah. In some ways too, we all aspire to do something great in life. Some of us just are not sure what we may end up doing. In my own life, I have been guilty of seeking for great things too. I remember very distinctly when I was a younger pastor and still very ambitious for the Lord, that I had this vision one day and I saw the Lord and He was talking to me. And He said, "Stephen, if you want to serve me, would a small ministry be good enough?" I remember reeling in horror as I exclaimed to the Lord, "Lord, if I'm going to serve you, it must be a big ministry. A small ministry just would not be good enough." And that was when the Lord brought me then to the United States of America and taught me a precious lesson of why small is beautiful in the Lord's eyes. Someday, I will share with you how He taught me that precious lesson. So, seeking for great things is natural. We do this corporately as Asian peoples. We also do this individually. Sometimes it's due to the aspiration we receive at birth, or it could be in the course of our upbringing. It could be due to the inspiration that we receive in life. My second main point is that seeking great things for self is something that Baruch was doing. So when Jeremiah, instructed by God, said to Baruch, "Seek not for great things for yourself," in verse 5, it must have come as a surprise to Baruch. Why not, if I want to seek for great things for God? Well, this is for self. His immediate response must have been, "Why not?" Even though this is not recorded. But the Lord had not one, but two surprises for Baruch. And before we look at these surprises, it is good to note that the Hebrew language has a way of making a distinction between what is a prohibition, which is something you must not do at all, and what is a warning, which is something you should not do. And the Hebrew language uses the same two letters, the Lamed, which looks like an L, and the Aleph, which looks like an A. So the two letters, depending on how they are lined up, it could be a prohibition, something you should not do at all. So the way they do that is to put the Lamed first, and then the Aleph. You have to remember that Hebrew is written from right to left, just like the Chinese language, and that is the law. The prohibition, for example, in Exodus 23, when God gives the list of 10 commandments, and He says, "Thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery," that is the law. And then when they switch the two letters, it becomes the Al, the Aleph, and then the Lamed. And that is a warning not to try. And so in this text here, it is the Aleph, Lamed, which is a warning. So Baruch is warned not to do it. But you know, even to this day, some still try, in spite of the warning of the Lord, not to seek for great things for themselves. But why not? The reason is because the Lord has not just one, but two surprises for Baruch. The first surprise is what the Lord is about to do. The Lord then gave this answer, which sounded a little bit enigmatic and needs to be unpacked. The Lord said, "Behold, that which I have built will I break down, and that which I have planted I will pluck up, even this whole land." And then further down to the end of verse 5, "For behold, I will bring evil upon all flesh." So what the Lord is about to do is twofold. First of all, the reversal of blessings. The reversal of blessings is seen in how the Lord will break down what He has built, namely the city of Jerusalem and the temple. the Lord had enabled them to build these things, the city of Jerusalem, the temple, but he will break them down. Secondly, the Lord will pluck up what he has planted, namely the people that entered into the promised land and conquered the promised land and lived in the promised land. They were planted there by God, but they are going to be plucked out by the Lord. So the people thought that this was the promised land. They believed that King David would always have a descendant to sit upon his throne in Jerusalem. But all this was coming to an end. The temple and the city of Jerusalem were about to be broken down by God. The people were about to be plucked out and taken into exile. It's the first thing the Lord is going to do, the reversal of blessings. The second thing the Lord is about to do is to bring on the covenantal curses. When the Lord threatened to bring evil upon all flesh, this may come as a shock to us. After all, is God the author of evil? No. Then how can he allow evil to come upon his chosen people? God can allow evil to befall his people simply because he's being true to the terms of the covenant that he had entered with them on Mount Sinai. There on Mount Sinai, the Lord had promised them that there would be blessings for obedience, curses for disobedience. And thus this evil was coming upon them because they had disobeyed God over and over again. They were simply harvesting the bitter fruits of their rebellion against God. So this was the first surprise then for Baruch, which was what the Lord was about to do to the land and its people. But the second surprise had more personal implications for Baruch. The second surprise is how the Lord rewards his servants. The second surprise is for how the Lord treats those who serve him. Baruch had seen with his own eyes how the prophet Jeremiah had been mistreated. Baruch himself had been involved in some episodes of saving the prophet from death too. But now, on a personal note, Baruch says, "Woe is me, for the Lord has added grief to my sorrow. I fainted in my sighing, and I find no rest." Such is the lot of those who serve God. Not lavish rewards, but often pain and suffering. Is that not surprising? Well, for myself, I have recently laid my own wife to rest. She had struggled for 10 years with Alzheimer's disease, and because she was diagnosed in her early 50s, it was considered early onset. I can testify that my wife, Li Tiang, struggled with this question too. What have I done to deserve this disease? Alzheimer's disease is the most dreaded disease, where you literally lose your mind and you're reduced to a living dead status. And she had been such a faithful servant of the Lord. So when we seek for great things for ourselves, sometimes things simply work against the expectation. What we thought that we would be blessed by God, we may turn out to have problems which we do not realize, and that God is about to do something which is unexpected. And how God chooses to bless our individual lives may be in ways which we did not anticipate either. So if we only seek for great things for ourselves, we may be disappointed. So seeking great things for self is a no, because God may have surprises for us. the surprises of what He is about to do, and what He may allow into our lives, which may be things which we may not want if given a choice. And these surprises will eliminate any of the great things we may have worked for or were looking forward to. My third main point is that we should be seeking great things for God. If seeking for great things come naturally to us, but the command from the Lord is not to seek great things for self, then the question should be, what great things then can we seek for God? The great things that we should be seeking for God is actually the little things. This is what the Lord says to Baruch. Thy life I will give unto thee for a prey in all places whither thou goest. This word prey is a translation of the Hebrew word lishlal, once again read from right to left, which could mean a prey, a spoil, a plunder, or a booty. See, what happened then in 605 BC was that the Babylonians came in from the east, and although they did not destroy Jerusalem on that military expedition, nor did they tear down the temple then, yet they did take people into captivity. Jeremiah, however, was allowed to remain behind with some others who were left to mend the puppet state. The people who had been left behind, however, did not want to abide by the authority and the control of the Babylonians, so they tried to run away to Egypt. Here, if I could just encourage you, you have time this afternoon, please join us. I'm going to give an overview of the Old Testament. I'll bring up all these things again and try and put the picture together. But it's difficult to do in this sermon. So they tried to run away to Egypt. Jeremiah and Baruch was caught up in all this upheaval and struggle. In the midst of much danger and fleeing for their lives, the Lord was promising to Baruch that he would be spared. He would be kept alive by the Lord. And this is one sense of the word which has been translated as prey, but could also be translated as a booty or as the prize of war. You see, the King James translation of this word as prey is legitimate, is proper. It is one of the word choices for the word in Hebrew. But the difficulty arises when we understand prey as an animal which is being hunted. So the field mouse, for example, is a prey for the barn owl. The barn owl is always looking out for the field mouse. He just wants to swoop in and get his lunch. Now, if Jeremiah's life is a prey, then he's always hiding and running around trying to protect his life. In what sense that then can that be a gift from God? The other way the word lishlal could be translated is as a plunder or as a booty. If Jeremiah gets to keep his life as a man keeps a reward which he has won in a hard battle or in a race that he has won and he gets a reward and an award, he keeps that gift. He keeps it very well. And so God is saying to Baruch, I'm going to give you your life as a gift, as a reward. You will be spared. Wherever you go, I will keep you alive. Today, we are also caught up in much upheaval in society and in life. If we try to do great things, we may, in the end, find ourselves unable to achieve anything of significance just because everything will be wiped away by God. Do you still find yourself waiting for the right time to serve God? Do you find yourself waiting for the right time to study the Bible? Do you find yourself waiting for the right time to take up that ministry in church? You know, some people are still waiting after many years. they're planning to do some great things for God. They're planning some great things to do for God whilst neglecting the little things which pop up every day. So, the great thing which we are to seek for God is actually the little things in life. It is the fact that each day we get to wake up and live another day for the Lord's glory. This is the great thing that God has preserved our life for another day, and we get to live this day for the glory of God. So, what can we do then with our everyday lives? Here are just a few suggestions. Number one, you can greet people. Greet people in the car park, in the malls. Just be friendly. I realize that here in Australia, people are generally friendly. But I won't be surprised if in your office, there are just some people who will not be friendly. And I challenge you to greet those people. You know? Go out of your way and be extra friendly. Or give up that special parking lot, even though it's not a reserved parking lot, such as a handicapped parking lot or a family parking lot. Just because you notice there's somebody else behind you, the car is full, the children are noisy in the car, give up that convenient parking lot. Be considerate. Or give a cup of cold water in Jesus' name. Be kind. Be kind to the people around you. Be kind to your neighbors. Or go a second mile with those who need us to journey with them. Be generous with your time, with your resources, with your life. Go out of your way to bless them. Touch the lives of people around you with acts of kindness and words of thoughtfulness. Because you need to be aware of the opportunities that God may be opening for you. Most of all, we want to share the gospel of salvation in our Lord Jesus with the people around us. So be ready. I happened to come to your church on Friday, and I noticed your young people had a whole session about learning how to share the gospel with others. What a blessing it was to see our young people learning to share, being ready to share with the people around them. So if you see your life as a gift from God, then ask God to open your eyes to see how each day can be lived with an attitude of gratitude to God as you reach out and touch the lives of the people around you with a desire of wanting to share the gospel of salvation in our Lord Jesus with them. So, seek great things for God, namely the little things that we can do on a daily basis as a gift from God. Why? Because our lives are a gift from God, and what we do with our lives, the little things that we do to bless others, to share the gospel with them, this is our gift to God. May we live our lives wisely. In conclusion, when the Lord said seek, He was actually intending to prepare us for hard work. For when many people hear the word little, they think, little means easy. On the contrary, little can also be tough and challenging. For the word seek in Hebrew is the word bakash, and it can be variously translated as search for or seek for, or pursue after. And what it suggests is effort and intention. You have to put in the effort, and you have to be very clear in your mind that this is what I'm going to do. Well, let me share with you an example. The example is, how difficult is it to pursue somebody that you love? How difficult is it? In 1981, when I first met the lady who turned out to be my wife, Li Tiang, in Singapore Bible College, I remember I was very intentional, and I made every effort to bakash her, to seek for opportunities to get to know her. I looked for, I sought for, I pursued getting to know her. I was very intentional, and I made every effort. In a similar way, living a life of purpose, does not come naturally. Even the little things in life by which you may touch the lives of others often don't just happen just because you want them to. It comes with intentionality, it comes with determination, it comes with training. So if you want to make a big difference in the lives of others by doing little things, set your heart on it. And then pray and ask the Lord to guide you and lead you. And then keep trying it. First time it may not work as well, try it again. Training helps us to get better. So, seek for great things. Yes, we should. Provided the great thing is the little thing. It's the little thing of living each and every day to the glory of God. Today then, as you leave church, ask the Lord, Lord, what little thing can I do today to be a blessing to others? How can I be a channel of your gospel to those around me? And then as the Lord Jesus lays it upon your heart, do not hesitate. Do it by His grace. Do it for His glory. So, the little things in life could make a big impact in the lives of others just because God is working in and through us. May we influence and move others closer to the kingdom of God today. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you have given to each one of us our lives today as a gift from you. We receive this gift gratefully. We ask that we may live each day to the glory of our Lord Jesus, that by His grace and for His glory, we may reach out and touch the lives of others around us through acts of kindness and words of thoughtfulness. Lord, we know that being other-centered does not come naturally to us. So help us to be very intentional, help us to be very determined, and help us to rely totally on the power of your Holy Spirit to change us and to use us. We pray and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.